Hey guys, how you doing? This is Wade with Wade for Wireless. And today, title of my blog, Do or Die, Are You In Over Your Head? Now why'd I say do or die? Sometimes we do things because we think it's required of us, but what we have to do is question what we're doing, right? That's why I'm telling you guys, all the time, you have to learn to do the paperwork for a lot of reasons. I'll get into that later. Maybe I'll do it at the end or something. But what I want to talk about right now is qualifications. Do you think just because you climb towers, you're qualified to do anything on the tower? I mean, what does your company bid on? Does your crew install dishes or LTE arrays or broadcast antennas or stack towers or strengthen towers? All I'm saying here is, do you know what you're qualified to do? That depends where you are on the crew. If you're new, obviously you're going to be doing new things all the time, but the experienced guy, you hope, has some experience with most of this. If he doesn't, that's when you really need to look into it and do your research. Again, guys, this is why I'm telling you, you have to learn to read the paperwork. And I don't care who you are in the crew. A lot of you guys probably just show up on the job and do what they tell you to do. And let me tell you something. For your first year, all right, that's okay. You're going to show up and do what they tell you to do. But after that, you have to begin to really understand what you're doing. I mean, really, when you're out there climbing, do you want to be a grunt for the rest of your life? Is that the plan? Or do you want to actually understand what you're doing? Do you want to get better at it? Do you want to make it a trade? Do you want to see what career paths you have? Anyways, off that. So, you know what I'm saying, right? Think about that. So before you got started, did you read the paperwork? Do you know what you're going to do? Are you in over your head? And trust me, there are times when you feel like you're over your head. But if you have the right tools and you come up with a plan, and listen, I don't know how many of you guys know your competitors. I brought it up in the past. I would call different tower crews and they would call me and we would discuss things. We would discuss like working on a specific tower. We would discuss how to lift something, how to attach to the tower. So that's something I would like to build again, a community. And maybe that's one of my projects I'll do. Write that down, build a community. That we could discuss things like that. If we had a tower community, we could help each other out. Now the problem with that is that most of us are working all the time. I mean, it's great when we get work in our backyard, but I gotta tell you, there's usually a lot of windshield time, a lot of travel time. We all like to eat, trust me. I know for those of you that don't climb a lot, you don't understand that. I don't know about you guys. I am hungry at the end of the day. So a meal is a big thing. I know it sounds funny, often overlooked. People don't understand it. You get hungry. I eat all day. Trust me. Even now I eat all day. It's amazing I'm not, I weigh about 165. It's amazing I don't weigh more than that. And you know, I run and try to keep my weight down because when I climbed, I didn't have to exercise much because I hustled. All right. Sorry, guys. Back. But the point of this today is I want you to be prepared when you go out to the job and you know what you're doing. If you're bidding on jobs, you got to bid on jobs that your crew can do. Like if you guys hang LTE arrays and that's your specialty, you'd better look, if someone asks you to stack a tower, you better know damn well what you're doing when you stack the tower. You better have the tools to do it and understand what you have to do, and also the size of the tower. If you're stacking small towers, I've done that. It's not a big deal. But let me tell you, these broadcast guys know how to stack large towers. Those guys know what they're doing. These are guys that you know, have done it for years, usually a family-owned company. And they're damn good at what they do. And you know why they have customers? Because they've earned them. They have good reputations. That's one of the big differences between, say, when you're bidding on carrier deployments. They're looking at qualifications now, and they're going to look at safety. And I know Nate's working with the carriers on safety, which is ironic. But I don't know how many tower crews they're working with. I'm sure they reached out to a lot, or how many safety companies they worked with. I'd like to think they're reaching out to a lot, but for you guys, tower climbers, the tower crews, the safety people, the estimators, you guys have to know what you're bidding on. You can't be in over your head. I don't want anyone getting hurt out there because you're in over your head. If you're an estimator and you think you can do it, talk to your crew. Chances are you don't have to turn around a quote in 2 hours. You can make a phone call and understand if you can do something new or not. Now, I'm not saying don't do anything new, because that's growth. That's a good thing. But I brought up Clint Eastwood, Harry Callahan, and Magnum Force. He said, a man has got to know his limitations. So what does that mean to you? You got to know your limitations. And not just yours. You're working with other guys out there. You have to know your crew's limitations. You and your crew have to know what you can and can't do. And that's something that, you know, sometimes you argue over what you can and can't do or what you want to do. But the reality is you should know what your limitations are. So I've seen guys go out and, you know, they build towers, they figure their way through it, depends on the tower. It all depends what tools you have. So that's another thing to look at. What tools do you have to do that job that you're doing? For instance, give you a simple, straightforward example. You're putting up, say, a 180-foot tower. How are you going to put it up? What's the plan? You got to build it in the ground, and it depends where you're at, obviously, but this is, let's say, a wide-open field. So wide open field, you're going to build most of it on the ground and put it up in sections. Is that what you're going to do? You know, a lot of small towers, 80 foot, 100 foot, put it together in the ground, get a crane, heave it up. Those real tiny Roan towers, they have hinges. You know why? Because they're tiny. You know why? Because a lot of hamsters can put them up themselves. Let's talk a real beefy 180 foot tower. So you're going to get, you know, roughly a 220 foot crane out there to lift it? Maybe you are. If you are, hey, problem solved. Put the sections together, stack them, make sure you're prepared to stand up there above the top and guide that steel in. I'm just throwing that out as an example. If you have the right tools, you can probably do almost anything. Experience really helps. If you have someone on your crew that's done it before and it can guide you and talk you through it, that's going to help. So you see, guys, it's not just one thing. It's a combination. If you have four experienced guys out there, and then you have no way to get the pieces up the tower, what good is that? It's tools, it's experience, and it's research. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to look it up. Don't be afraid to call the tower company. Don't be afraid to ask what you should do next. So why am I saying that? Because I think a lot of people get in over their head or they wing it. And I think a lot of people get lucky. I just do. I think a lot of people probably go out there and they do the best that they can, and maybe it's good enough. Now, I look on Facebook on the groups, a lot of you guys take pictures after the fact of guys that have done other work, and it's pretty easy to rip it apart. So were they slackers? Yeah, probably. Were they in a hurry? Was it Friday? It's 6 o'clock and they want to go home. You know, they want to see their families. Could be it. But the reality is someone should inspect their work after the fact, and that doesn't always happen. That's something that they do occasionally, or they miss, or, you know, schedule screw things up. So I don't know what to tell you there. But I just want you guys, you know, to understand what you're getting into. And that's why I bring up the paperwork all the time. And that's something I'm working with another guy. I'm going to put some stuff together on the paperwork. That is the – and I'll be honest with you. That's something that's overlooked a lot of times. I think what happens is, like, one guy might read the scope of work, and then he'll just tell the other guys what to do. And that's great if it works for you. But you know what? I noticed that on tower crews, most guys like to look at the specs. They like to look at what they're doing. They like to understand what they're doing before they do it. I mean, you guys aren't idiots, right? You're smart people. You want to come up with a plan, and you want to understand what you're doing out there, okay? So if your company's bidding on work just because they need the work, that's not always the best thing to do. What they should do is they should be bidding on work that you can do that's in your particular niche, or if you're going to bid on something new, make sure they bid on work that you have the tools to do. You know, it goes back to putting something heavy on the tower. You want to have a good reputation. If you screw up, if you lose money on the job, that's one thing, as long as nobody gets hurt. But if somebody gets hurt, it could be a bad day, it could be a funeral. That's something you don't want to happen. Accidents happen in the industry, okay? That's just a reality. It's a dangerous job, folks. Even though it's been devalued here in the past couple years, it's a dangerous job. Whatever you get paid, chances are it's not enough. So what I want to do is make sure that you guys understand what you can do, and when you go beyond that that boundary that you're prepared to do it with the tools you have. So you can't just wing it. In other words, if all of a sudden one day you have to put up a 12-foot dish with a mount and it weighs, I don't know, let's say it weighs 600 pounds. Let's go really high. And you have a capstan winch, and the capstan winch is rated for like 300 pounds, you got a problem. You should have, you know, a hoist, you know, a 2 or 3 drum hoist. You know, you should really not be doing that type of work. If all of a sudden you have to go out there with a gin pole, a huge gin pole to put a tower up, and you've never done it before, you might want to think that through, you know. If you have two guys on the crew that have done it before, well then, great, maybe you can figure it out. But my point is, know your limitations. Reputation's big in this industry. That's why if something bad happens, you really need to correct it immediately. Accidents happen, and people forgive accidents. They really do. Bad things happen. But if you screw something up royally just because you were in over your head, that's hard for people to forgive. I know you're going to learn your lesson, or I'd like to think you'll learn your lesson, but I mean, it's just out there. People look at reputation. I just want you to know that. So I know recently here, you know, that young man died with that problem where the cable gave away, and I have the link in there. I don't want to get into it anymore, but I mean, that's something everyone's speculating on what happened. Now, I didn't see anything on OSHA. Everyone's looking to OSHA to fill out a full report so we know what went wrong, because we want to understand if the crew, we want to understand what happened. We want to understand if it was a faulty part, a faulty strap, if the rigging was wrong. We just want to understand what happened. And why do we want to do that? Because we want to learn from that. So, I mean, it's just something we have to do. So, coming back around to the point, if you're bidding on work, you'd better know that your crews can handle it. If you're an estimator, if you're a bidder, or if you're a GC and you're bidding on work and you're going to hire crews to do it, you better vet the crews. You better look at what they can do. We all like to hire people we like, but if you know that a crew you like can't do the work, you might want to think it through. If they don't have the tools to do it, and I'd like to think if someone comes to you and says, hey, can you do this? You're honest. Even if you say, you know, we've never done it before, but we got the tools to do it, then they'll weigh that in their offer, and the GC will hire, well, at least put you in for the bidding so you can see if you can bid it or not. And I think that comes with a lot of, you can tell people that bid on a lot of work because they have a little more wisdom. They know who can do what. And if you're a GC and you know your crews, you know which ones can bid on what. You know, there's a huge difference between hanging antennas, hanging cellular arrays, hanging broadcast, and stacking a tower. All different jobs. Beefing up a tower. That's something else, too. So you see, the thing here is, if you're wrong, it may not be a bad day. Could be a funeral. Something to think about. It may cause someone more than a damaged reputation. That's why you got to be... That's why you have to do your due diligence. When you do your due diligence in what the job is, then you understand what the job will be. And you know what? I'll give AT&T a lot of credit here because they're going to do it. Well, I wish they wouldn't have pulled back the work because that hurts everybody. But it seems like they're doing the research for hanging up all those remote radio heads. That's just a wave of the future, guys. That's the way it's going to be. The radio is going to be up on the tower. And eventually, the radio and the BBU, everything's going to be on the tower. I harp on this. You don't see it. It'll be 2 or 3 years out, probably. And the good thing for tower crews and tower workers and tower owners is that it's going to be a lot of work, a lot of money. For all you guys that beef up towers, all you mechanical engineers that do structurals, it's going to be a lot of work. Because you're not only going to have to do the structural like we did in the old days. Towers were usually built for way more than what we stacked on them. You are going to have to beef up the tower or build new towers. I don't know what it's going to come down to. I know with the advent of small cells, we'll fill in a lot of holes and we'll go right out to the people. But the reality is we still need to put the stuff up on the towers. And we're going to have a lot of decommissioning. That's another blog. So... understand what you're getting into, understand what risks are involved, and understand what your crew can do, and understand what tools you have. Tools are huge, guys. I mean, if you don't know that by now, maybe it's time for you to get out of the business. So tools are huge. If you have the right tool, you can really go a long way. If you're willing to ask questions, you can go a long way. If you're willing to read and learn, you can go a long way. If you're willing to look at the job as more than just, you know, something that fills 9 to 5, you can go a long way. If you're just doing it for, you know, till you find something better, I think maybe you better tell your crew that, because they're going to want to know who they can, you know, work with and who not. And maybe you're really good at what you do and you just don't like it and you're looking to get out. I get that too. Maybe you're sick of the travel. I get that too. A lot of people don't understand that. Travel wears on you. Wore on me. Did it for many, many years. Missed a lot of my kids' lives because of that. You know, that was the job. That's the way it is. And it's hard on a person when you're away from home, you know, 5 days a week or 2 weeks or longer. It's really hard. Some guys live for it. The other thing that's hard is to maintain a good lifestyle while you're doing it. A lot of guys fall off the, you know, off onto a bad lifestyle because they think it's party night every night. And it's just not. And that's another thing I think is going to change. I think you're going to see more drug testing and follow up with that kind of stuff out there. So you guys, you're warned. I think that's going to be the wave of the future when you're doing a lot of these contracts. And I'll tell you what, I did a lot of government work, and I brought it up before. I was drug tested all the time. When I say all the time, maybe once a month, sometimes twice a month, you know, with or without an accident, they just randomly pulled people. I think they pulled me because they knew I was clean. Sometimes I think it's very selective in the way they pull people. But just so you know, I think I could be wrong, but I do think that's a wave that's coming. So, and for all you customers out there, prices are going to go up. It ain't free. You're going to say, oh, we're doing everything we can for safety. Then you're going to turn around and say, oh, it's getting too expensive. Just, you know, safety costs money. I lost a lot of jobs because guys were out there with just crappy safety gear, crappy safety equipment, no plan, doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And these were jobs for mostly state governments. Excuse me here. Oh, I had to get a drink. So what I'm trying to say is, know your limitations. That's the theme today. Know your limitations. Know what you can and can't do. Know what you should be bidding on. All right? I want you guys to be safe. I want everyone to come home at the end of the day. I don't want anyone to get hurt. The reality is someone's going to get hurt out there, and sometimes someone won't come home at the end of the day. And I got to tell you, these last two painters that fell, one was a scaffolding incident, from what I hear. But the other one, the guy was painting a tower. You know, I don't get it. These are older guys. And by older, if you guys saw the ages, I think one was in his late 30s and one was in his late 40s. And I don't understand. I mean, maybe, you know, we got to wait for what OSHA says, unfortunately. And I wasn't on the job site. I don't have a clue. And obviously, anyone on the job site isn't going to say anything because it's a Sue Happy world and everyone's at fault, and, you know, they get worried about that. So, I just, something to think about, all right? I think I ran it on that long enough. I think you guys know that don't get in over your head, because it's a matter of life and death. It really is. And you know what? Some of you guys don't bid in easy jobs. Maybe you should. If you have new climbers and new guys and young crews, maybe you should bid in the smaller jobs so they can get experience. Experience helps, and maybe it'll be a stepping stone to something bigger. Because I've seen that too. People can't get someone to do simple tower inspections or things like that. Not that it's the most profitable work, it might be, but it's something you can go out and you can do, and it's a lot of paperwork, and it's a great place to start. Or it's a great place for filler, and it's great work. And you know what? Company I worked for did a lot of maintenance years ago, and maintenance carried us through the tough times. Trust me, when people pull the plug back, say like AT&T did recently, which I think, you know, MasTec's still suffering for. When you put all your eggs in one basket and the basket falls, a lot of eggs break. So that's what happened here. Put all their eggs in one basket, and it's a good big customer, obviously. Well, they pulled the work back because, you know, they're looking at their best interests, meaning AT&T's looking at what they would need to do. And I'm sure they did it for the best because it's a big plan. You know, I'm trying to roll that out. And at least they're trying to think it through. And they seem, from what I hear, word in the street is, they're working with the vendors to try to figure out the best way to do it. I didn't hear much from Verizon. I know Verizon's rolling out too. I just don't know if they're working with the vendors as much. Anyway, so with all that said, Don't get in over your head. Hey, at the end of my blog, GME Supply, who, not getting any type of kickback, I'm just talking about these guys because I like them. GME Supply put out some good videos on the capstan winch. I don't know how many of you guys worked with a capstan, but, you know, it's something that most of you probably worked with. Anyone in communications work probably worked with. We hung a lot of dishes using them. Now, I'm not talking the hoist drums or anything, just a simple capstan. You know, simple electronic hooked into your car battery or electric. Depends what you got, you know, whether you're the 12-volt or the 120-volt. But we use these things all the time, and they have a great video with Keith Wiley. I hope I'm saying your name right, or I hope it's Wiley or Willie, of the Hubble Power Systems. And he shows you how to set it up, how to hook it, how to put it in your truck. And even if you used it several times before, it might be a good idea just to review it and see if you're doing the same thing and following the same rules that he tells you to do. It's a pretty good video. I threw it in there. I threw another one from GME Supply where they show off a capstan they're selling, but the first one's pretty good. So the other thing I'll do, I'll dig up the Dirty Harry clip. Man's got to know his limitations, and I'll throw that in there. So, and there's one more thing. What about the tower light finds? Well, I got a call from Richard Evans, and he sent me a comment. And, you know, he works on a lot of, I don't know, you guys know, he's out of Arizona, works on a lot of tower, he works on a lot of broadcast tower, taller towers. And, you know, he did bring up one thing I didn't think about. I got to give the guy credit. And he says it's an FAA thing, but the FCC enforces it and so on. But the reason it's such a big deal, and I didn't think about this, he said a lot of helicopters are flying around out there. You know, he's sort of a cool guy to talk to. So Richard told me that you got to think of more than just planes. He said the helicopters fly low, and they use a lot of the tower lights to guide them. So he says they look for those lights, not only to miss the towers, but to gain their sense of direction. Now, I know they have GPS and everything else, but it probably does help to have a landmark, and anyone who drives knows that. So it was sort of interesting to hear about how the tower lighting is a huge deal because the tower companies, when they report an outage, you know, it goes right to the FAA, goes right out to all the pilots, and the pilots are supposed to look at that before they take off. Not just pilots of big airlines, but say the helicopter pilots, the smaller pilots, they're all supposed to pay attention to that. And I didn't think of helicopters, but boy, there are a lot of helicopters. Think about hospital helicopters. Think how many hospitals are out there. You know, that's something we often overlooked. So that's why it's so important, because these guys, you know, they're trying to save people. So if a tower light's out and some guy, you know, it's dark, it's night, he's taking a shortcut and he doesn't see the beacon, going to be a problem. You know, they really need those beacons. If he knows it's out, then he's going to pay extra attention to the path he's on. You know, he's not going to veer off or worry about something else or get distracted. He's going to really pay attention to what he's doing. So that's why it's such a big deal. And I didn't mean to slough it off. I'm glad Richard got a hold of me, because it's a big deal. And I never thought of helicopters. Helicopters do fly low. I remember back when in New York City, when the World Trade Center was still standing, I did a lot of work on top of the World Trade Center. And it was sort of cool when you were up there. I think all the way to the roof, it's over 110 floors. But I remember, you know, the roofs moved and everything. I was on Tower 2 with all the broadcaster, all the antennas. They had all the antennas mounted right in the roof, and no one really got in the tower except broadcast, because they did have a tower there. They had a lot of combiners. In the top, I think two rooms were like all broadcast equipment. Anyways, when you're up there on the roof, you look down, the helicopters fly between the buildings. And it was sort of cool when you're up there, because you can look down and there's a lot of air traffic there. And they fly the streets just like a car would drive it. You know, it was really cool. I couldn't believe it. But you would look down on the helicopters. It was a common thing. Now, you could also see the water there. You know, a lot of them, well, actually, a few of them flew over the water, but not a lot. Most of the helicopters flew right through the city, like through the streets. And you know what? I should have thought of that when I was talking about tower lighting. So, thank you, Richard. Appreciate you pointing it out. And it's something I should have thought of. So, I'm not going to take it lightly anymore. The tower finds are a big deal, and they're huge finds, and they're very heavy for each day. And the other thing Richard told me, and I thought this was really cool, and I'll put this in a future blog, but he said in West Virginia, you know, towers are sparse. They actually have a guy that drives around, and he looks at the tower lights, and he actually documents which ones are on and off. Now, I know most tower companies just, you know, they just have it alarmed, but I never thought of that because usually they have some way to get back. You know, it doesn't always have to be a landline. It could be, or a lease line, could be microwave, some type of wireless hop, because that's what a lot of guys do here in Pennsylvania. They have like some type of, they just put an alarm line back on their microwave or the out-of-band T1 that's on there. It ain't cheap to put alarms in. And now with Ethernet, everything's changing. You know, you just plug in, you have another port in the Ethernet, and it breaks out the other side. And you guys would be surprised, especially with government, they were slow to come around to an Ethernet system. Trust me, I know. I worked on some here recently. Like when we started doing Ethernet radios for the state of Maryland, a lot of the public safety guys, they didn't want to get on it. They wanted T1s and DS3s all the way. They didn't think this Ethernet thing was going to catch on. Well, I guess they were wrong, weren't they? So anyway, the reality is now everything's Ethernet. So on the end, it sort of makes it easier once you figure out how to translate it. Just throw it in a port. But in the old days, you know, you had to have a T1, and the bandwidth became a big deal, the number of lines and voice and so on and so on. And, you know, you had your muxes and things like that. But now everything's going to Ethernet. It's just reality. And I know I got off tower lighting. Sorry, I was just getting into the alarming. I'm rolling off here, guys. All right. Remember, guys, don't get in over your head. Know your limitations. So be smart, be safe, pay attention, and follow the plan. So what I want you to do here is you got to, and I know this is on a lot of the sites, but you've got to improvise, adapt, and overcome. To do that, you have to pay attention. You have to be in the moment. You can't be thinking about what you're going to do over the weekend. And you have to follow the plan, which means you have to have a plan. Plans are meant to change. That's why you have to pay attention. Things aren't always set in stone. So that's why that saying, adapt, improvise, and overcome, used not only by the military, but you see it a lot with tower crews. All right, guys, be safe, be smart, and stay alive, will you? See you.